following message is from Christian Life Austin. For more information about Christian Life, visit clcaustin.com. Thank you for listening.
You put your hands together for the Lord tonight. Man, how's everybody? Is your week going good? Just kind of nod. You don't have to holler out. Just, yeah. It was a beautiful day today, and then it got cold. You ever have those days where you just can't warm up? You know what I'm talking about? Like, today was one of those days. I was just sitting in my office, and I was just... Our team makes fun of me because they walk into my office every day, and it's always, like, burning up hot in my office because I have a personal heater that sits right next to me. Nobody likes to come into my office for very long because they start sweating. I'm like, man, this feels good. This is what it's supposed to be like. All y'all like the cold weather. I'm going to have an altar call for y'all tonight. We're so excited that you're here. Man, what a fabulous weekend we had. I know Cassidy mentioned that. I won't belabor it, but it was a fantastic weekend at your church. And this next weekend, you guys, I'm telling you, if you haven't invited your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, please do so. You will not regret it. It will be an amazing time to introduce them to Jesus. And listen, when they are introduced to Jesus, you better just watch out what happens in their life. They're going to find some things that they never maybe even intended to happen in their world. But we're going to dive right into the word of the Lord. And our passage of scripture tonight is one that I think will, it's just really uplifting. When you read it, it's probably, it's just really positive and encouraging. And it's found in the book of John, chapter 8. And Jesus is speaking, and he says this. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil." Not encouraging. "And you want to carry out your father's desires." Oh, wow. "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies," this is one of my favorite lines, "when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." For just a few minutes tonight, I want to talk to you on this subject, liar, liar. I almost put pants on fire, but I'm not a youth pastor anymore. As we're in the thick of the Christmas season, it is without question the most wonderful time of the year. We are busy decorating our houses, going to office Christmas parties, buying gifts, wrapping gifts, planning menus, making travel plans. And though this season, really, I think for most people would say it is the most wonderful time of the year, but through the busyness of the season, sometimes, because it is the most wonderful time of the year, doesn't mean that it's the easiest time of the year. Maybe this time of year reminds some of you in the room today of a loved one that has passed away. And around the Christmas time, feelings of loneliness begin to creep in. Maybe this year has been rough on your finances and it leaves you feeling stressed and anxious about what's to come. Christmas time brings emotions, both good and bad. There's some people that are just overly excited. Merry Christmas! Everywhere, somebody just, you know, just holly jolly Christmas. But then there's other people that are on the opposite end of the emotional spectrum where it does. It brings about thoughts and memories that aren't so exciting. And though the reason for the season is the most wonderful time of the year, sometimes it's hard to feel like it's the most wonderful time in your own life because of what it brings and what it reminds you of. And what I found is that this time of year, this is the time of year when the enemy likes to creep into our minds and begin to do some work. When you're already in a frazzled state, when you're already stressed, when you're already anxious, when you're just running crazy trying to get it all done, emotions are helter-skelter, the enemy likes to creep in and try to get you to believe some things about yourself that simply aren't true. In fact, it's one of his main weapons that he uses. He is a liar. Your enemy is a liar. And I want to deal over the next couple of weeks with a couple of these things that your enemy, the liar, would have you believe about yourself. And we're just going to dive right in. I'm going to give you the one we're talking about tonight. Here's the thought that affects so many of us. Are you ready? I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And this one has plagued many of you for many years. When you hear those words, you can go back to something that happened and you still feel these moments of inadequacy, and it can show up in so many different forms. I'm not a good enough parent. I'm not a good enough spouse. I'm not a good enough boss. I'm not a good enough employee. You think I'm immune. I'm not a good enough pastor. I don't measure up. This is the feelings that many of us have, and it's a lie from the enemy that he would try to have you believe about yourself. And it's during a season like this when emotions are helter-skelter that he likes to creep in, because there's a moment, there's a cracked door, and a moment of opportunity for him to sweep in and to convince you of some things that simply aren't true. And here's what I know to be true, that if you embrace a lie, it will affect you as if it were true. If you believe a lie, it will affect you as if it were true. Moses, he struggled with this. This was an issue for Moses. Exodus chapter 4, God himself had called Moses to deliver God's people from bondage, and watch how Moses felt as God called him into this. He feels the same way that many of you feel so often in your life. Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord? I've never been elegant, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant." Like back in the day, nope, I didn't have it then, and I ain't got it now. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. In other words, he's telling him, "Lord, you can't put me in front of people. I freeze. When the lights come on and people look at me, I had something to say, but it just went away. I don't know what it is. I don't have what it takes. I get nervous. I'm not a good public speaker." In other words, what he's telling God is, "I'm not good enough." The Moses, a central character in the Old Testament, dealt with the same thing that you and I deal with on a regular basis. And I think if we're honest, we try to figure out what the culprit is as to why we believe many of the lies that we believe about ourselves, I think it can be boiled down to the idea that we base our worth off of the wrong things. We base our worth off of the wrong things. Like what other people say about you. Man, we care a lot about this. And it's hard. But we put so much stock in what people say about us. It's why social media is so rampant and has such an effect on society today because we crave feedback. We want it. It's a drug. We're addicted to it. Tell me something good about me. I care so much about what other people say about me. Sometimes it shows up in the form of the house that you grew up in, where maybe you received a lot of encouragement and you felt really good about yourself. Others of you, you grew up hearing phrases and words like you're stupid and you believed it. You hear it long enough and you begin to embrace it. You're not good. You're no good. You're not as good as your brother. You're not as good as your sister. And it's left you with a feeling as an adult that you're still not good enough. No matter what you did to try to prove yourself, no matter how high on the corporate ladder you climb, no matter how far you exceed the expectations of your family members, of a coach, of a teacher, of a mentor, even if you climb past the person that they said you weren't as good as, you still feel like you're not good enough. And Moses battled with this, just like you and I battle with this. And what's interesting, what's so mind-blowing is that God actually speaks truth to Moses. But Moses, his own insecurities were speaking louder than God's truth. God was speaking truth to Moses, but Moses was so insecure that all he could see was where he didn't measure up, and he couldn't even comprehend what God was saying about him. Watch this dialogue in verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, "Okay, Moses, I hear you. But let me hit you with this. Who gave human beings their tongues? Their mouths? Is it not I?" He was kind of getting at Moses. Is it not I, the Lord? And then God says in verse 12, "Now go, Moses. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." So after this interaction, one would be led to believe that Moses would walk away. Ho, ho, ho. Here we go. What am I going to say? I'm gonna throw my shoulders back. I kind of want to just walk out here. Production people are really mad. I stepped out of the light. I'm so sorry. But you would think Moses would be just fired up. "Oh, I'm going to walk into this with boldness. Ooh, here we go." But watch what Moses says in verse 13. "Oh, Lord, please send somebody else." The Lord had already told him, "I'm going to help you. I got your back. I'm not going to leave you. Go do it and watch what happened." And Moses still says, "Uh-uh. Not me, Lord. Please send somebody else." Can you read between the lines on this Wednesday night? God, you don't get it. I'm not good enough. If you send me out there, I'm going to fail. If you send me out there, I'm going to make a fool of myself. Please send somebody else. Many of us have been embracing a lie for so long that it has led us to some dangerous conclusions. Since I'm not good enough, I can't make a difference in this world. So why even try? I'll just stay right here and do what I've always done. I'll just be average. I'll just blend in. I fail at everything that I do. I don't have the looks. I don't have the speech. I'm not talented enough. My body's not right. I'm inadequate in every way. I'm not even worthy to be loved. So why even bother? I'm just not good enough. And I'm going to tell you what you already know, but I want to reaffirm it tonight. You are not who others say that you are. You're not who a hurtful parent said that you were as a 7-year-old or as a 12-year-old or as a 15-year-old or even as a 40-year-old. You're not what a boss said about you. You're not what a coach said about you. You're not what even a pastor said about you in a negative light. You're not what people have said that you are. You are who God says that you are. That's who you are. Isn't it amazing how we place so much more value on what people say that we are versus who God says that we are? Right? We're so, I don't know, this thought just hit me. Think about that. I don't know why I'm on social media tonight for some reason. I wonder what our, if there was like an Instagram that only heaven could see versus the Instagram that we have right now or the Facebook that we have right now or the Twitter X, whatever. Some of us, if there were two options, some of us would still choose the earthly one over the heavenly one because we crave the opinion of man when God's speaking the whole time about who you are. Wow. So let's talk about this for a second. Obviously, and I've used this before, this line, but when a lie pops into your mind, you have to replace it with God's truth about you. And so I want to share with you tonight for the next few minutes, it won't be long tonight, but for the next few minutes, I want to share with you a few things of what God says about you. And this Christmas season, I want you to walk into it in the craziness, the hustle and bustle, the frazzledness, the emotional wreck that you may be, whatever that looks like. I want you to walk out of here tonight knowing what God has said about you. And here's the first one. You are called. Now that may not fire you up yet, but give me just a second. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. In his grace, God has called you to his eternal glory by the means of Jesus Christ. You are called by Christ, the anointed one, the Savior of the world, is calling you. And we still have this little voice. You're not good enough. No. You're absolutely good enough. You are so incredibly special that Jesus has you on his mind. Amen. You are worthy of his love. His heart beats for you. He cares about you. I wonder if anybody in the room or even at the beginning of our Christmas season finds yourself tired and worn out right now. Too much is already going on. Jesus says to you, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, if you're burdened, I will give you rest. Are you searching for something more in life during this Christmas season? There's got to be more to life than what I've been living in the way that I've been living life. I'm thirsty for something more. And he says to you, I am the living water. Taste what I can offer you and you'll never thirst again. Maybe you walk into this season and you're a little bit hungry. You want something different than what you have right now. He says, I am the bread of life. Jesus is calling you. He cares about you so much that he has you on his mind. Are you lost and wondering and can't seem to find your way this Christmas season? He says, I am the way. Are you believing lies about yourself this Christmas season? He says, I am the truth. Do you feel dead on the inside? He says, I am the life. He is calling. You are called by Christ. Let me put it this way. Your spiritual iPhone is ringing. And it's not a spam caller. Don't send him to voicemail. Pick up the phone and talk to the one who is calling you, trying to get your attention, saying, I'm here, I care about you, I know what you've heard, I know what people said, but that's not who you are. Who are you in God's eyes? Ooh, I like this. 1 Peter, but you are a chosen people. Who are you? You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are called. Can I tell you tonight, God is calling some of you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know what the darkness looks like, but he's calling you, and I wonder if there's anybody in the room tonight that will answer the call. You've been in darkness for too long. I wish I had like a ringtone going off right now. You're called. Here's the second one. This doesn't sound like much, but stay with me. He says you can. You're called, and you can. When the enemy begins to tell you that I can't be a good parent, I can't be a good spouse, yes, I can. I'll never be a good employer, yes, I can. I'll never be able to love my wife the way that she deserves to be loved, yes, I can. And I'm going to tell you why you can. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He says you can when you believe that you can't. How? Let me show you how. I'm glad you asked. Because you are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved you. And one of the greatest goals of your spiritual enemy is to talk you out of all the things that God has in mind for you. Not good enough. Why bother even trying? Throw in the towel. No. I can, because the I am gives me strength. I can, because the I am gives me strength. See, here's the problem with people. See, when they look at you and they don't see you as enough, here's what they're missing. They're not seeing Christ through you yet, who gives you strength. They're just seeing you on the surface. They're just seeing your skin and your eyelashes and your ears and your eyes and your eyeballs and your hair if you have it. But they're not seeing Christ through me yet, who gives me strength. See, I fall short as a father, but Christ through me, I've got the strength to be the dad to my kids that they need to be. I fall short as a husband, but Christ through me, I've got enough strength to love my wife the way that she deserves to be loved. I fall short as a business owner, but Christ through me. You better watch out where he's taking this, where he's leading this, where he's leading your companies. Christ through you. So many people, and we do this, we're so good at this, and it's not good. We try to do it in our own strength. And you're wondering why nothing is getting accomplished. You're wondering why you're in the same place that you were last year. And then last year, you're still in the same place that you were the year before. And now you're 50 and you're wondering, why am I in the same place that I was when I was 40? It's because you're trying to do it in your own strength. Gentlemen, you're trying to please her in your own strength. It's impossible. She's a moving target. You can't do it on your own. But Christ, through you, you can have a marriage like you've never imagined. You can have the marriage that you dreamed about when you were 17, 18 years old. Christ working through you. Don't pretend that you can do it on your own. You can't do it all by yourself. Look at the power of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think, this is powerful, it's not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. And this is how you have to view your life. Is that I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what I know I need to do, but I know that it's going to take more than my strength to do what it is that God's calling me to do. See, if you want to be just normal and you want to be just average and you want to just barely get by, go ahead and walk in your own strength. You can probably barely survive and just have a decent existence if you want to just try to do it in your own strength. But you're never going to walk in the full potential of everything that he has for you, because the way that he created you was that you would rely on him and that you would find your strength in him. And so you were created to need him. And so if you're going to accomplish everything that he has in store for you, he's going to be the one that helps you get there. But I can do it all by myself. Really? How's that working out for you? How's the last 10 years been? How's your job? You can do it all by yourself. How come you hate your workplace? How come your marriage is falling apart? I mean, I can do it. Maybe that's the problem. Let him in. Let him help you. Because with him, you can do all things. And he's going to give you the strength for it. Here's the third one, and we're close to wrapping up tonight. He's called you. You can. You can. And the third one is this. Is that you're complete. You are complete. In Christ, you are absolutely complete. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. In Christ, I want you to catch this. In Christ, do you realize you have everything that you need? You are complete in Christ. There was a movie that was out. I don't even remember the name of the movie. Something McGuire. What's the movie name? Jerry Maguire. You complete me. That sounds great, but it's not true. You're not complete from people. People don't complete you. Things don't complete you. Money doesn't complete you. Only Christ completes you. But I mean, if I found the right one, finally, I'd be complete. See, watch, this is, if only I got that job, I'd be so happy and so content. See, that's the problem. is that you think that can bring you everything you've been looking for. And it's why it will never fulfill you. You'll get the job and you'll realize, wow, I thought this was gonna be the thing. You'll find that person and you can have a great marriage, but you can still not be complete. You can attain whatever it is that you're trying to attain. You can have it in your back pocket. You can have it wherever. You can get there and still realize, man, this is just not what I thought it was. I mean, it's great, but there can still be a void, and there will be a void because none of that stuff completes you. You've been looking for things and stuff and people to completely complete you. Until you allow Christ to complete you. That void doesn't fill. But it's amazing how when you're content with who He created you to be, when you realize standing on your own two feet that I am good enough. Not because of me, but because of Him. Because He calls me His own. He calls me His child. And because He loves me, and that's what He says about me, He's the one that completes, and it's so amazing that when you understand that He's the one that completes you, how all that other stuff just kind of falls in line. It's amazing how that stuff doesn't tend to fall in line until you understand, wow. And He says, you get it now. I'm the one that brings you wholeness. I'm the one that restores. What are you missing? It's found in Christ. You need peace? Oh, good. In Christ, you can find a peace that the world has no idea. Whew. They have no clue the kind of peace that you have at your disposal. It's found in Christ. You need strength? Oh, okay. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. He's got more strength for you. But it's not found in your own strength. In your weakness. You have to let the guard down. That's where you find your strength is in Him. It's not in the gym. It's in Him. Blessings? Oh, yeah. Blessings that are eternal far outweigh the things of this world. You talk about a blessed life? It's not found on 6th Street. That's a messed life. A blessed life has found following Jesus with everything that you have. Would you stand with me all across the room today? When you see the word complete used in the New Testament, most of the time it comes from a Greek word that is referring to a ship. And what it means is that this ship is fully manned. In other words, the ship has everything that is desired to get to the destination that it's supposed to get to. And so I want you to look at your life like this picture of being complete, like a ship. You are the ship, and Jesus is the captain. And He will make the wind blow in your sails wherever is necessary. and whenever it's necessary, and everything that you need to get to where you're going. He's already got waiting for you. And he will empower you along the way on the journey. He's got everything that you need. It's found in Jesus. And I think tonight, as we kind of really launch into the Christmas season, every head bowed, every eye closed, I wonder if there's some people in the room tonight who would say, you know what, Pastor Brad, I've never trusted Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, I'm turning from my ways and my way of doing things. I want to follow you. I want to be complete. I want to be whole. I want to be made whole. And I realize that it's only found in you. If that's you, nobody's looking around, I wonder if you would just slip your hand heavenward. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. See a dozen or so hands lifted today. And I want to pray with you. And listen, I don't want you to just repeat my words, but I want you to say something like I'm saying, but from your heart. I'll lead you in that, but it's really just a prayer of telling the Lord, listen, I'm turning from my ways and I choose to follow you. Lord, right now, I thank you for every hand represented in this room today. God, I thank you for all those in the room that are trusting you and following you with everything that they have. And then there's some friends in the room today that are saying, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm tired of waiting. Jesus, today I want to follow you. And I commit to turning from my way of living, my way of thinking, my way of doing things, my will, not my will anymore. Your will be accomplished in my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me white as snow tonight. I choose to make you the captain of my ship. And Lord, I'll put the sails out if you'll just provide the wind. And from this day forward, I'll follow wherever your wind blows me. Whatever you're calling me to do, I'm trusting you. I'm going to take that step of faith today. You are the Lord of my life. I am no longer the captain of my own ship. Take me and use me as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the Lord today? Wow, thank you, Jesus. Now, the beauty of this is, listen, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, there is always more with him. Always more. Maybe you follow Jesus. Have you ever been water baptized? Let me tell you, we have a good time baptizing people around here. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can I tell you, it's for every believer. There's so much more with him. So that's my prayer, is that you would just say, Lord, whatever you want to do in me, have your way. Let me pray for you and I'll dismiss you. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for an amazing time together with your people as we open your word. And Lord, we refuse to believe the lies of the enemy. He is the father of all lies. We will believe what you say about us. We are good enough because you live on the inside of us. You make us good enough. And we thank you for it. Be with us, bless us, bring us right back to the house for Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you on Sunday morning.